SpaceX gets a huge chance to prove it's ready. A formation flight leads to a midair over Texas. And with allies like Pakistan, who needs enemies? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 16th, 2011. The circumstances surrounding the final hideout of Osama bin Laden, where he had lived for years near Pakistan's main military academy, led to serious questions about whether Pakistan was really much of a U.S. ally at all in the fight against Al-Qaeda. New revelations are likely to encourage those inclined to answer no. On Sunday, the Financial Times reported that Pakistan, which enjoys a close relationship with China, gave Chinese military investigators access to a previously unknown stealth helicopter, which crashed and was abandoned on the roof of bin Laden's Abbottabad compound during the raid in which he was killed. That access is said to have included photos and a sample of the skin of the aircraft, and is said to have happened despite specific requests from the U.S. not to allow it. Widely publicized photos that were circulated immediately after the May 2nd raid showed that most of the Chinook had been successfully destroyed by departing U.S. Navy SEAL commandos, but a substantial portion of the tail remained intact. Even those photos led to widespread commentary on what appeared to be new stealth technology around the tail rotor. Pakistan expressed its outrage over the lack of prior notification of the U.S. raid by cutting back on the number of U.S. trainers allowed in the country and by limiting the activities of the CIA. The paper reports a U.S. official said there was reason to believe access to the downed helicopter had been arranged for the Chinese, but that no official confirmation was available. There's big news in the commercial space race. NASA has announced a launch date of November 30th for the next Falcon 9 mission and has agreed in principle to allow SpaceX to combine all of the tests and demonstration activities originally proposed as two separate missions, COTS Demo 2 and Demo 3, into a single mission. That means if all goes as expected, 9 days after its launch, the Dragon spacecraft will dock with the International Space Station. The decision to allow SpaceX to consolidate the two demonstrations could hasten the time when NASA has a commercial alternative to paying Russia to take cargo and crews to and from the station. Dragon is technically a cargo capsule only, but was designed with a window, an obvious step toward getting the craft human-rated. SpaceX also plans to carry additional payloads aboard the Falcon 9's second stage on this upcoming flight, which will deploy after Dragon separates and heads toward the station. NASA will grant formal approval for the combined COTS missions, pending resolution of any potential risks associated with these secondary payloads. SpaceX says its team continues to work closely with NASA to resolve all questions and concerns. If they pull this off, it'll be really big news. Stay tuned. Saturday brought a sad reminder that formation flying presents increased risks. The FAA reports the pilot and only occupant of a Vans RV6 died when his plane went down in a wooded area near Conroe, Texas, near Houston. Weather was reported as a few clouds, 10 miles visibility, and winds 240 at 4 knots. KWTX-TV reports the accident happened when two planes in a seven-plane formation made contact. The other aircraft involved, an RV-8, was landed safely by the other pilot, who was treated for minor injuries. The other five planes also landed safely at Lone Star Executive Airport in Conroe. Neither pilot involved in the midair was identified by authorities, but both were said to be residents of Montgomery, Texas. N16DD, the RV-6 which impacted terrain, is registered to Richard P. Stevens of Montgomery and got its airworthiness certificate in 2003. Residents of the area told KWTX the formation flights were common, with one saying he saw a four-plane formation every weekend. Up next on ANN, Augusta Westland chooses a sales rep for Chile and Peru. A Canadian airshow plans a historic heritage flight. And how do you lose an unmanned aircraft 128 feet long? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Augusta Westland announced last week at the 8th Latin American Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition that it has signed an agreement with Aviasur to be its independent sales representative for Chile and Peru for commercial helicopters. The agreement follows the entry into the market of the AW-119KE single-engine helicopter and the AW-109 Power and Grand New Twins in 2010. Speaking after the signing ceremony, Emilio Del Mazo, Senior VP Commercial Business for Augusta Westland, said, quote, "This latest agreement will reinforce Augusta Westland's presence in South America, where we are seeing strong demand for our commercial helicopters. We look forward to working with Aviasur and developing our relationship to provide local services that will benefit our customers in both Chile and Peru," unquote. The agreement with Aviasur will be followed in the next quarter by an Augusta Westland Authorized Service Center agreement, which will enable Aviasur to provide maintenance and other support services from its modern facility at Santiago's Arturo Merino Benitez International Airport to operators of Augusta Westland commercial helicopters. Aviasur provides a wide range of aviation services at Santiago, including a full FBO, aircraft sales, charter flights, and aircraft management for private and corporate clients. The 2011 edition of the Waterloo, Ontario, Canada Air Show is scheduled for this Saturday and Sunday, August 20th and 21st, and will feature a never-before-seen historical formation flight over the skies of the region of Waterloo International Airport. The flight will honor three separate generations of aircraft used by Canada's Air Force. The 2011 CF-18 demonstration team jet will join with the Korean War-era Discovery Air Canadair Sabre jet in its unique 1960s Golden Hawks paint scheme, and a Curtiss P-40N Kitty Hawk, which honors the legacy of Canada's own W.C. James Stocky Edwards, who flew hundreds of missions in the Kitty Hawk as part of 260 Squadron during the North African campaign in World War II. This will be a rare opportunity to witness Canadian military aircraft spanning three generations of service flying together. On static display will be vintage wings of Canada's Yellow Wings Tour. These five training aircraft, a Tiger Moth, Cornell, Finch, Stearman, and Harvard, commemorate one of the greatest military and industrial achievements in Canada during World War II, the British Commonwealth Air Training Plan, or BCATP. The plan, from 1939 to 1945, saw Canada become a world-renowned training ground for wartime student pilots from across Canada, the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, the U.K., and many other countries. This massive undertaking created almost 100 BCATP flying schools across Canada that trained more than 200,000 crew members. Nearly half the Commonwealth Air Force's pilots, navigators, bomb aimers, air gunners, wireless operators, and flight engineers were trained on Canadian soil. Also featured this weekend will be the Canadian Forces Snowbirds, the Canadian Forces Skyhawks Parachute Team, the CF-18 Demo Team, the U.S. Air Force Viper East F-16 Demo Team, and other historical and aerobatic performers. Find out more or get directions at waterlooairshow.com. And finally today, high winds, which tore through the Midwest over the weekend, caused the Hangar 1 Vodka airship to break loose from its moorings, and the blimp went on a short, unscheduled, and unmanned flight in the wee hours of Sunday morning in central Ohio. The Associated Press reports the airship was moored at Don Scott Airfield on the Ohio State campus when the winds caused it to break loose. It drifted east, eventually coming to rest about 2 miles from the airport, at the home of 94-year-old Lillian Bernhagen. She said she awoke to find the deflated 128-foot-long airship covering most of her backyard. The airship is registered to Lightship Group, based in Orlando, Florida. It was on a 20-city tour advertising the vodka when the incident occurred. There had reportedly been a search on for hours before the blimp was located. crews dismantled the aircraft Sunday morning and removed it from Ms. Bernhagen's backyard. It reportedly did not do any major damage to her home. And TSA is worried about terrorists sneaking GA airplanes out of an airport unnoticed? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.